Starting.
Welcome to Bhagavad Gita. As today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we are very fortunate to have His Grace Sukumar Gaurdas Prabhuji on the call today to enlighten us on topic of glories of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Altruist Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening on this topic. You can take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, am I audible?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Have you logged in from two places?
Just a minute.
That's why it's getting echo.
I guess now perfect Prabhu, I think so.
Is it okay, Mataji? Is it okay? Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Prabhu, we see one connection you logged out. Yes, Prabhu, you're only on one connection now.
Okay, no. Can you all see me and hear me now?
Yes, Prabhu, but there is little echo again. I don't know why.
Hare Krishna. Okay, Mataji? Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu, now.
Okay. So should we start the session, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, so welcome all the devotees for this morning session. There may be some technical problems during the session, so kindly excuse me for that. So we welcome all the devotees and I'm grateful to all of you for allowing me this opportunity to serve you all. This is one of the most happening online devotee communities, and so many wonderful speakers are lined up every day so that all the devotees can be nourished in Krishna Bhakti through various speakers and their realization in Krishna consciousness. So today we have a very auspicious day. It is the disappearance day of Om Nitya Lila Pravishta, His Divine Grace Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada. Actually, I'm feeling highly unqualified to speak about him because the services that he has rendered and the spiritual caliber that this person has. Just like Rup Sanatan Goswami, when they meet Lord Chaitanya, in Chaitanya Charitamrita we see there is this shloka that comes, where both of them say, Vaman eche chan dharite chahe kare, eivan cha mure uthe antare. They are saying that to meet you, my dear Lord Chaitanya, it is just like a dwarf trying to catch a moon. So I am also feeling that unqualified. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked, what is ISKCON? So Srila Prabhupada answered that ISKCON is that organization which is exclusively meant to fulfill the desires of my spiritual master. So even though we are all serving in Srila Prabhupada's mission, still feeling unfortunate that I haven't been able to develop any love and affection for this great personality who was actually the driving force in shaping Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. He is the only one of his kind who could have dared to challenge Maya face to face and boldly. That was the purity and that was the spiritual caliber of this great personality, His Divine Grace Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada. So I thought, what better way I can have to purify my dirty heart than to glorify this great personality. So I'm seeking the blessings of all the assembled devotees here so that I can glorify this ray of Vishnu, the Simha Guru, who made the hearts of non-devotees, Sahajiyas, Mayavadis, tremble in fear. When he used to speak Harikatha, it was just like a lion roaring. When a lion roars in jungle, all the small animals, animal of any sort, they run away just by hearing the voice of the lion. Similarly, all the Mayavadis and Sahajiyas used to tremble when they used to hear the Harikatha of His Divine Grace. So this is the day actually we should feel proud that we have got connection to such a great and powerful parampara. They have given us a special privilege by which we can understand the topmost devotional topics. But to access all this, whatever has been given to us, we need a required humility. Required humility, somebody would ask, why humility? Because that is the key to unlock the treasure of Krishna Bhakti. And one easy way to express or to feel humble is by understanding the superlative greatness of His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada. So let us start by reciting His Pranati Mantra. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Nitinamine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnanam Daine Prabhave Nama Madhuryo Jala Premadya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dina Tarine Rupanuga Viruddha Apasiddhanta Dvantvaharine. So this is a beautiful Pranati Mantra of His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I thought that we should spend some time on understanding the meaning of this Pranati Mantra, because his entire life is summarized in this Pranati Mantra. So let us spend some time to dwell and understand what exactly was his work. So it starts with Nama Om Vishnupadaya. So Nama is obeisances, Om is to address the great or superlative person. And who is this person? Vishnupadaya. One who has taken the shelter of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. And how is he? Krishna Prashtaya. Prashtaya means one who is very dear. To whom he is very dear? Krishna Prashtaya. He is very dear to Lord Krishna. Bhutale. And he has appeared on this earth. Bhu is earth. Shrimate. And how is he? He is bedecked with all the beautiful Vaishnava quality. Shrimate is addressed to one who is beautiful. So here he is addressed because he has all the beautiful Vaishnava qualities in him. Now you may ask, who is this person who is so dear to Lord Krishna? What is his name? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati iti namine. Namine means his name. What is his name? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Now we may say, oh, it's so nice that he's such a great person. Can you let us know about what his work is and who he was? Then further it is explained, he had one more name, Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya. His Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace Gaurkishwardas Babaji Maharaj, gave him this name during initiation. Varshabhanavi Devi means Srimati Radharani. Daita means one whom Srimati Radharani loves. He is the servant of that person, Dasa. So he is so dear to Lord Krishna. And who is Lord Krishna? He is loved more by Srimati Radharani, Varshabhanavi Devi. This was the name that was given to him by Gaurkishwardas Babaji Maharaj. And it means that one who is specially favored by Srimati Radharani. Now you may say it is speaking about Lord Krishna, not about Radharani. How do you say that he is specially favored by Radharani? The next line explains, Krishna Sambandha Vijnana. Now, one who is favored by Srimati Radharani, only then he becomes qualified to understand Krishna Sambandha Vijnana, Daini. And he is the one who can help others understand this Krishna Sambandha Vijnana, the science of Krishna consciousness. This line itself shows that he was especially favored by Srimati Radharani, because Krishna himself cannot give devotion to himself, to others. But one who is favored by Srimati Radharani, because she has love for Krishna, she has devotion for Krishna, and when she empowers somebody else, he also becomes equally qualified to deliver and impart this Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daini. He becomes the giver of this Krishna Sambandha Vijnana. That is how it shows that he was especially empowered by Srimati Radharani. Kripa Abdi. And that is how he became the ocean of mercy. Now why ocean of mercy? Because he was so merciful that he could deliver the rarest of the rare, that is the science of Krishna consciousness, to anybody he desired. Then however fallen he may be, he was able to deliver that. Prabhave. Prabhave means Prabhu. Unto the master, unto such a great master, we offer our respectful obeisances. Now we say, okay, anything special about him? Yes. He was bhakti da. He was empowered to give devotional service. Okay, which kind of devotional service? Madhurya Ujjwala Prem Adya. Adya means that which is enriched. Now, how it is enriched? Prema Adya. It was enriched with love. So, Madhurya Bhakti, which was enriched with love of Krishna, that is, they are pointing out to what? They are pointing out to the Vraj Bhakti of the Gopikas, the Madhurya Bhav, the Bhakti which has the Madhurya Bhav, which is the exclusive property of the Gopikas of Vrindavan. He came to deliver Bhakti Da. Da means the giver, Dayak. He became the bhakti, that kind of bhakti which is the rarest of all kinds. He became the bhakti dayak, giver of that kind of rare bhakti. Oh, who taught him this? Rup Anuga. He learned it from the parampara of Rupa Goswami, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Now you may ask, how can someone deliver the topmost thing to the people of Kali Yuga who are so fallen? How can he do this? Then the last line explains, Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti. He had the Gaura Shakti. But how was it empowered? It
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I think Prabhuji got cut off.
Yes, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji.
Maybe somebody called him or something.
Hare Krishna? Hari Bol, is it audible, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
They are saying, Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarini. They are offering obeisances to one who is giver of the Gauravani and the Dinatarini, the deliverer of the fallen souls. So if he is Gaura Karuna Shakti, how did he preach the message of Lord Chaitanya? As taught by Srila Rupa Goswami, he preached it very boldly. So how boldly? Rupa Anuga Viruddha Appa Siddhanta. The Siddhantas that were given by Rupa Goswami and his followers, if anybody could preach Viruddha or Appa Siddhanta or try to modify those Siddhanta, Dvantua, he would destroy their teachings. Dvantua Harine. He was removing all those apasiddhanta and Rupa Anuga Viruddha, that were the teachings that were given by Rupa Goswami, and anybody who was trying to preach against them, he was dvantu harini, he was to destroy them by his bold preaching. Now, after this invocation. Now let us try to understand through his life how he represented all this, whatever this pranati mantra, which is meant exclusively to glorify him. Now the first word that comes is Prashtaya. Prashtaya means one who is very dear to Lord Shri Krishna. Just like Krishna in 18.69 in Gita, he says, Nachatasman manishyeshu kashinne priyakrittama. The word Krishna using is tama, tartamya. There is something called as tartamya, best, better and topmost. So Krishna is using tama, priyatama. Krishna says, I love this person who is very most dear to me, Krittama, who, one who explained this knowledge of Krishna Bhakti to others, that person is very dear to me. And that is what exactly his Divine Grace Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did. And that is why the first word that is Prashtaya, was very dear to Lord Krishna. Second comes Varsha Bhanavi Devi Daita Das. Means the servant of the lover of Shri Radha, that is lover of Shri Krishna. So he was a devout lover of Lord Shri Krishna. So how do we understand when we love somebody, what are the symptoms that a person shows when he is in love with someone? It is seen exclusively by two things. He constantly speaks about that person, or he is constantly thinking about that person. And that is what exactly we see in the life of Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When he used to speak about Lord Krishna, his Harikatha would go on for 8 hours. 8 hours at a stretch non-stop. And when his disciples were sitting near him, they used to show him time that, Guru Maharaj, it's almost 8 hours now and people have left, or very few are remaining. And at that time, Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, see, Maya is sitting here in the form of this disciple. He had a very dear disciple, his name was Kunji Bihari Das. He was his manager. So it was his duty that was given to him to stop his Guru Maharaj while giving katha. So when Kunji Bihari Ji used to tell Bhakta Siddhanta Thakur that, Gurudev, now it's almost long time and we have to stop katha because we have a further program, he used to say, see, this Maya is always walking with me. So that was his absorption when he used to have Harikatha. And he used to chant at least 2 lakh names daily. And when he was super busy, he used to chant 1 lakh names of Hare Krishna mantra. And he instructed his disciples to chant 1 lakh names daily, especially to his Grahastha disciples. He said that Grahastha disciples, they are too much in dealing with Maya, so they have to chant 1 lakh names. And he used to sleep at 2:30. He used to sleep at 11 p.m. and wake up at 2:30 p.m. So that was the kind of love that he had for Lord Krishna and his seva. The third word that comes here is Prabhave, master. He was a master. What master? Krishna Sambandha Vijnanam. He was master in the science of relationship with Krishna. In teachings of Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one word is often stressed. If you read his books or if his literature, the word seva will always be there. If you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching, the word japa or harinam has to come there. He has stretched it too much. Similarly, in the teachings of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, you will find seva, service to Lord Krishna, is stressed too much. We are always told that we want love for Krishna. Now, the point I am trying to stress here is Krishna Sambandha Vijnanam, the science. If we don't understand this science, then we have to read the books of the Acharya. So we say that we are told that we want love for Krishna. Now somebody would ask, why you want love for Krishna? Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Prabhupada says, we want love for Krishna so that we can serve Krishna 25 hours a day. When we want to be so much absorbed in Krishna that feeling of sleeping and eating, we should feel it is nothing but waste of time. We should feel 24 hours service to Krishna is less. And we can have this mood exclusively only when we have that love for Krishna. So he said, prema is required to serve Krishna more and more. According to Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, prema is a upakaran, it is an instrument, it is not a lakshya, it is not the goal of Krishna consciousness. That is the clarity of Krishna Sambandha Vikyan. We want love for Krishna, but for what purpose? It the purpose is that we want to serve. Now we are told that we want to serve in Vipralamba Bhava. Vipralamba Bhava means that bhava where there is intense separation from Krishna. Just like the Vrajvasis when Krishna left for Mathura, they had intense separation. Now why only Vipralamba Bhava? Then Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explains, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan and every single devotee is in deep separation, then there is service for a sadhaka. When he chants the name of Krishna, when he sings the glories of Krishna in the form of pastimes of Krishna, then that is what soothes the hearts of the pure devotees. Now somebody would ask, when was the first Hare Krishna Mahamantra Sankirtan done? When Krishna, in the 10th canto, all of a sudden during the Rasa Leela, leaves all the Gopikas and Radharani, they are into intense grief and separation from Krishna. They are feeling intense separation from Krishna. And that is the first time when all the Gopikas, they came together and sang this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is not some ordinary mantra. It is coming directly from the Rasa Leela. And in that Rasa Leela, why was it sung? It was sung so that they could relieve their distress. And that same mantra is given to us, which means Prabhupada says, oh Radha, oh Krishna, please engage me in your service. So what service? The service of mitigating the distress of the Braj Gopikas. So to get that service, we are chanting this Mahamantra. So the purpose of chanting is to serve Radha and Krishna in Vipralamba Bhava. As this is the time when we can serve them the most, and our service as a Nitya Siddha Sadhaka will be required there. So Seva plus Vipralamba, they should go together. So he was the one who taught us this science of how to develop relationship with Krishna. So Seva and Vipralamba Bhava, both have to go together. And that is where he set the highest standard for a Sadhaka in Krishna Seva. Once Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was in his mutt, he was in his ashram. So one brahmachari was sitting idle on a chair, just relaxing in ashram. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he saw him, he directly came before him and he told him, you are having illicit relationship with another person, another woman. So that brahmachari was shocked. He said, no Guru Maharaj, nothing like that, I'm just sitting. He says, you are sitting idle and using Krishna's property in the form of chair and in the form of time. That is the prakriti, that is the energy of Krishna. And you are using this prakriti, this feminine energy of Krishna for your enjoyment. And that is why I said you are having illicit relation. Illicit relation means you are trying to enjoy Krishna's property for your own sake. Because you are not seen serving Krishna, and that is how it becomes illicit. So that was the definition of Seva, that was the standard of Seva that he had said. He couldn't tolerate a bit of sense enjoyment in any of his students. Why? Because he said, with that small tinge of sense enjoyment, you can never enter Goloka Vrindavan. Then how much ever rounds you chant, or how much ever sadhana we may do, we will never be able to enter. Just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, Bahu janme kariyade shravana kirtan tabbuto na paaye Krishna pade premadan. That love for Krishna will not come just by hearing and chanting. We have to do that in a certain mood so that this enjoying tendency is gone. The fourth word that comes is Kripa Abdhi. He is called as the ocean of mercy. Why? What is the purpose to call him such? So we have to understand the mood of His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. The purpose of His preaching, the mood of His preaching, when we understand that mood, then we will be able to understand why He is called as Kripa Abdi. Now when we as a sadhaka preach and when an acharya preaches, there is a huge difference. There is an ocean of difference in that. When we as a sadhakas are preaching with our impurities, we are more bothered with our score, our temple, my lecture, my dressing, and we become more or less competitive. And when we see that in our temple only 50 people are coming, 100 people are coming, 150 are coming, in their temple 1000 are coming, 2000 are coming, our mind gets morose. And that is the flaw in the preaching of a sadhaka. But when an acharya preaches, his mood is not counting. How many? What we focus as a sadhaka, I got 10 people to Krishna, I got 20 people to Krishna. I connected so many people with movement, ISKCON movement. But do we ever count how many left because of us? You don't count. But acharyas are exclusively sensitive. Even one person leaves, they feel so sad, so sad. Why? Because this soul, after million and millions of lifetimes of enjoying matter, has come to Krishna to enjoy the real spiritual taste. And he has gone away from this taste. Just like we have this pastime of his Srila Prabhupada. Then Janaki Mataji told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, I am leaving ISKCON. Prabhupada asked her, why you are leaving? She said, no, I want to go. So Prabhupada said, okay, you go and close the door. And she left. And she was standing outside the door. And when she left, when she was standing outside the door and closed the door, she heard Prabhupada crying loudly and bitterly. She shares her realization. Later on, she came back. Similarly, when somebody would leave the mud, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would feel so bad that this soul had come close to Krishna and now he has left. Bhakti Puri Maharaj, Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj shares his incidents that when he was a brahmachari, he made some mistake, some sort of mistake in dealing with the Mataji. And the temple authorities got so wild that they threw him out of the temple. And when he was thrown out of the temple, and that was a new temple, and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Maharaj was called for opening of that temple. And when he came, he saw all the brahmachari that he had sent for that project, but he didn't see Puri Maharaj. And next day was the temple opening. And day before, they had thrown him out of the temple. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur asked, where is Puri Maharaj? Then the authorities told him, he did such a mistake and so we threw him out of the temple. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Maharaj said, I will not open the temple till he comes back. Only 24 hours remaining, all the temple residents went out, started searching every nook and corner of the town. And nobody could figure out how to find him out because such a big town. And then somebody realized that he had that skill of repairing the watch in the ashram. So they said, search all the shops of watches. And they started searching all the shops where watches were repaired, and in one shop they found, and the temple president who had thrown him out, he fell at his feet. He said, please come back. Without your coming, Guru Maharaj is not going to open the temple. And when he came, he was crying. Why? Because he could feel that sensitivity, that my Guru Maharaj is so much sensitive to me, even when I have done a mistake. When Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was in his mutt, every night he used to go from room to room, from brahmachari to brahmachari, and check whether he has got his mosquito net, whether he has got his bedding properly, whether he has got his clothing properly. His needs are taken care of. He used to go personally from his every disciple to disciple and check whether their needs are met. So he was sensitive to the needs of the devotees, existing devotees. And not only that, he was also sensitive to the needs of the newcomers. And that is how we could accommodate all, and that is how preaching expanded. So for the acharya, the purpose of preaching is to reach the hearts of the people so that he could change their taste, transform their taste from lower to higher, from mundane to Krishna conscious. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes that what is the utmost emergency in this material world? It is nothing but to get a higher taste. What is the most emergency thing in Krishna consciousness? It is nothing but to get the higher taste. And that is what transforms the lives of the people. So Acharya is one who always tries to find a connector according to the taste of people and accommodate that taste in Krishna consciousness. Just like there is this devotee in Singapore, initiated devotees, and they have a son, and he's studying there in Singapore. And this son of theirs, maybe in 7th, 8th standard or 9th standard, something like that, I exactly don't remember, but he likes robots too much. So day in, day out is into that robots. And his father always used to tell him, mother always used to tell him, please chant something, please read something, please read Bhagavad Gita. They used to try to force him. So as parents it is natural for them, but they forgot something. So once some senior devotee went there, and they had a house program and everything went well, and at the end all the devotees went and they were having a talk with that senior Prabhuji, and he said, this son of ours, he is not into Krishna consciousness, he is always into robots. Please tell him to read Gita, please read him, tell him to chant Hare Krishna. So this Prabhuji, he said, okay, I'll speak to him. And he spoke to him and he started glorifying him. Wow, you make such nice robots, and this is something really unique. But I think you should do something more unique. And the boy asked, what more unique can we do? He says, why don't you create a robots and trying to fit them in the battlefield? He says, wow, that's a great idea, but how to do that? Which battlefield and what battlefield I should bring all those robots in? Then he told them, how would it be if you read Mahabharata and Bhagavad Gita and try to fit your robots in this war of Mahabharata? That boy got so shocked. He was so happy. Yes, he said, what I have to do for that? He said, you please start reading Mahabharata and Gita. And from that day, that boy used to daily read Gita. So similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was trying to understand the needs of the people at that point. He could easily understand the traditional approach to preach Krishna consciousness will not work. He could make out that easily. He could make out that the Indian people are exclusively attracted to the Western technological advancement. And that is where he brought into picture for preaching the idea of Dhyaroma exhibition. People were, and he put all this into his temple premises. And thousands of people used to come to see those Dhyaromas, and after seeing that Dhyaroma exhibition, they obviously used to come in the temple and have darshan of Lord Krishna, and through that they used to get connected. Now you may feel, did he understand all this later? No. He got the entire grasp of, that is where empowerment comes into picture. He got this grasp at a very early age, and that is why at the age of 14 he was translating Sajjan Toshini, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to give him for editing, and not in one language, in many languages. At 11, he was editing Jaiva Dharma for Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And along with that, he used to come up with suggestions which Bhakti Vinod Thakur used to inculcate in his printing. He was into Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He used to go with two lectures with his father. He used to sit and used to hear from both parties, and at the end of the session, he used to give his opinion. And that is where he was very interested in this editing matter. He got very interested in the printing presses. And he was learning more and more about printing press, how this printing press can be used to promote the literature of Krishna Bhakti. And the same seed he imparted to Srila Prabhupada. At the age of 18, he was learning Laghu Siddhanta Kaumudi, which is a very classical and Sanskrit text. At age of 21, he had three magazines. He started three magazines in English, Hindi and Bengali. At the age of 26, he had eight magazines. He was editing, writing, and plus throughout that he was chanting 2 lakh names. Eight magazines, writing, editing, everything along with preaching and also chanting. That is how he used to sleep at 11 p.m. at night and wake up at 2:30. So learning of technology came from the real understanding of His Divine Grace Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati. It was already on his mind at such an early age. And that is how the foresightedness of an Acharya comes into picture. That is why Acharyas are called Vishala Buddhi. What is Vishala Buddhi? They can see the future and take steps now. Even if you see Srila Prabhupada's life, Srila Prabhupada's outreach, what was Srila Prabhupada's outreach? He started Rath Yatra. Why? Because he wanted all the passion of the youth. The youth of Western world were all into all crazy things. And what is the most craziest thing? The craziest thing was to dance on street. Prabhupada said, okay, you want to dance? Come, dance before the Rath Yatra. If they would have done it just like that, they would have been into jail. But Prabhupada said, dance before Lord Jagannath, and they were escorted by the police. So that proclivity to dance was already there. And in that, those who had passion, strong passion, told them to distribute prasad, distribute books, do so many different things for people of different countries. And that is how Prabhupada engaged. Some of them he engaged in building up Rath Yatra carts. So Prabhupada tried to give them taste of Krishna consciousness, tried to purify that taste by engaging them into service. Because when one tastes the pleasure after doing service, then that is the time he will never ever leave Krishna consciousness. That is, Acharyas know all this. For the Western audience to connect, you have to hear from them, you have to understand their needs. So just being able to connect to the public will not expand the preaching. Okay, you got a connector, you tried to find what they like and you tried to inculcate. Is that sufficient? Is that what Prabhupada did? No, they had to prepare so that what they speak and what they do and what they preach reaches the heart of the people. They were chosen one. They were personally chosen by the Lord, but in spite of their being chosen, they had to pay a heavy price for their empowerment. Empowerment hasn't come cheap for them. Just like His Divine Grace Bhakta Siddhanta Thakur, before starting all his prominent endeavors of preaching, especially opening of the Gaudiya Math, the 64 Gaudiya Math, he chanted Ek Koti Naam Jap Yajna. He started Ek Koti Naam, means 10 crore names of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He did this for more than 9 years, almost 10 years, in Rudradweep. He used to chant 3 lakh names daily, 192 rounds daily, plus meeting with visitors, plus construction of Yogapit and many other sabhas. This is where the Baliya Sabha against the Brahmanas that came up, and after that sabha people were behind him to kill him. In that traveling for local preaching, all this superhuman activities can't be done without the special empowerment of Lord Krishna. Chanting 192 rounds daily for 10 years, and that is one day when he was chanting in his kutir, a paper came up flying and stuck up on his face. And there was this one shloka, I don't remember the shloka, but shloka from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Rup Sanatan to go to Vrindavan and start preaching. And there he understood that yes, now that is the signal from the Lord that I have to start preaching. And that is on the day one, on that day when he stopped his one koti naam jap yajna, the next day he established the Gaudiya Math Samstha in one day. One day he established the Gaudiya Math, the organization. And we also see in Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita, there is this chapter, lifetime of preparation. Prabhupada prepared for so long. When Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, Prabhupada used to call all the Vrajavasis, make them sit and give lecture in English. And nobody used to understand what is speaking in English. But what was Prabhupada doing? He was trying to practice how he would preach in English to the Western audience. And when Prabhupada came back from the West with his Western disciple, then the Vrajavasis understood, it was a practice session for going to the West. Similarly, in the life of Narottam Das Thakur, Lord Chaitanya already told Loknath Das Goswami that Narottam Das Thakur is going to come. and you please accept him as your disciple, is I have empowered him with my Krishna Prem. And when Narottam Das Thakur comes to Vrindavan and he meets Loknath Das Goswami, and Narottam Das Thakur says, my dear Lord, please give me Diksha. Loknath Das Goswami says, okay, I'll give you Diksha, but for 1 year, you please chant 1 lakh names of Hare Krishna Mantra, and you hear from me morning and evening 3 hours, and rest of the times you do all the backup seva of Radha Vinod. This was the menial service that Narottam Das Thakur did for 1 year, and after that he has got Diksha from Loknath Das Goswami. So they were empowered, yes, but has this empowerment come easily? No. This empowerment came after a rigorous practice. And how do you understand if somebody is empowered? It is seen through his humility. That natural flavor of humility will arise. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, when he used to call his disciples, he used to call them my Prabhu. He used to say Dasosmi. When somebody used to offer him obeisances, he used to offer full obeisances to that person. Most of us, when somebody offers, especially if somebody is a junior, we only bow down and touch the we just touch the ground by our hands. We don't bow down, but he has to bow down to each and everyone who is to bow down before him. That was his humility. And one more flavor of humility was, he, just like in Prabhupada, we see these traces of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Prabhupada used to say, you all are sent by my Guru Maharaj. You are the representatives of my Guru Maharaj. You have come here to assist me in my service to my Guru Maharaj. Never did Prabhupada take that credit. Where did this come from? It came from his Guru Maharaj. That traces, that deep foundation of humility. And one more thing that humility helps us to open our minds for new learning. When Prabhupada was at Sally Agarwal's house, Sally Agarwal tells this in her interview that he was interested in everything that was American. Prabhupada used to watch these washing machines very carefully. How this works, what happens, how the clothes are dried, how it spins, how much water, how much detergent. Why? Because Prabhupada was open-minded. He wanted to understand how these people think. Why this thinking has to be understood? Why this is the most important part of the preaching endeavor? Why is this necessary? For an example, if a teacher wants to teach a child, or the parents want to teach their children, first they have to learn how this child is thinking. Till the time they are not able to understand the needs and the thinking of the child, they will not be able to address his necessities. So Srila Prabhupada was trying to understand what these people are. Just like Prabhupada used to usually say, somebody asked him, how is Vaikuntha? Prabhupada said, Vaikuntha is the ocean of LSD. No, where is LSD in Vaikuntha? There is no LSD. But this is what they can understand. They are feeling that there is great joy in LSD. And this joy is multiplied unlimited times. That kind of joy you will find in Vaikuntha. Oh, okay. That kind of joy. And then that is how they used to connect with Prabhupada. There is this pastime of Srila Prabhupada when his disciples organized a program for them, for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he came to the Vyasas and he sat and he saw that there is nobody there. And Prabhupada asked his disciples, where are the students? Nobody's come. So they said, Prabhupada, you start Jai Radha Madhava, you start Kirtan and we'll come back in 5-10 minutes. So Prabhupada closed his eyes and he started Kirtan. And by the time his Kirtan ended, the entire class was filled with students. And Prabhupada, when he opened his eyes, he couldn't understand what lecture should I give to the students, because all of them were without any cloth on their body. Now, if you have such kind of audience, what lecture will we give? So Prabhupada started the lecture. Prabhupada said, how nice it feels when there is no piece of cloth on the body. And all the students were, wow, he is able to connect with us. And everybody was so happy and everybody looked so jubilant. Prabhupada said, similarly, when this cloth on the soul in terms of body is removed, then you can actually enjoy with your real senses. Vasam sijiranani yathavya, Prabhupada quoted from Bhagavad Gita. And that is how they connected. And some of them became so interested. They said, we want to enjoy this world with our inner senses. So Prabhupada said, it is nice, but for that first you have to wear your clothes, you come and then I'll teach you. So that is how Prabhupada is to address. Prabhupada got what they are into. So we have to understand their needs, and that is where we can connect with them. Krishna Bhakti should be made understandable on their level. What happens, unfortunately, is that we have a certain pattern that is fixed. Immediately when we see a person who is new into Krishna consciousness, we have a certain idea of Krishna consciousness and exact same idea we try to impose on him. And if he is not up to the mark, we feel that he is no good. And that is how we start criticizing him. No. Acharyas have never taken that mood. They are Kripa Abhadi, they are ocean of mercy. They are able to accommodate all the people according to their levels. And that is how they give them instructions. So Prabhupada, his Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Prabhupada said, if we can't understand others, we cannot respect them. And if we cannot respect them, we will only criticize them. He said to his disciples when they were about to leave for the Western preaching, especially Bhuvan Maharaj and their team, when they were about to leave for the Western preaching, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, do not criticize the Western culture. We have nothing to do with their culture. We have to do with their empiricism, their conception of God. We are just going there to expand their conception of God. We don't want to criticize them. He told his disciple, the Westerners feel that they are technologically advanced and that is why they have to be respected. He said, be humble and respect them for their progress. And that is how they will be favorable. Don't criticize them. Appreciate them. Technologically advanced, okay sir, you are great. Please sit and hear. There is something more that I want to share with you. Giriraj Maharaj used to ask Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, just like you criticize this, you are very strong in your preaching with the scientist. Can we also be strong? Prabhupada said, never do that foolishness. Because we are not against science, we are against their atheism. Appreciation, we forget to appreciate. And this is what exactly the Kripa Abhadi, the Acharya does. He appreciates. And where has he got this? He has got this from Krishna. In Mahabharata war, Krishna appreciates Karna for the shot that he hits, and Arjuna's Rath goes back. Krishna is saying, "Hare, I am there on your Rath, Arjuna, and still by the arrows of Karna, our Rath is going behind." Hanumanji and Shri Ram, they are glorifying whom? Ravana. When Hanumanji first sees Ravana, he says, my God, what a brilliant personality. Only one thing that he lacks is if he could have been a wonderful devotee of Ramchandra. Appreciation. And that is why this part of humility, what is humility? It is to acknowledge the complexity that is in the reality. Yes, this person is not up to the mark. It is okay, but let me try to somehow or other connect him with that knowledge.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Mataji, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So that part of humility means to increase our non-judgmental attitude, and that is how preaching is expanded. We have to accommodate them. When the governor of Maya, when the governor of India came to visit the Mayapur temple, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, his disciples in a biography they write that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur dressed himself and his sannyasi disciples in shirt and pant. Now what for? So that they feel comfortable. They don't feel that I look totally different from them. No, be comfortable and somehow try to connect with Krishna. Prabhupada also carried the same mood. When Prabhupada bought one of the churches in Los Angeles, Prabhupada told his disciples, it is okay if the newcomers don't remove their shoes before entering the hall. We will keep the deities somewhere else. Of course, later Prabhupada turned the entire thing, rules and regulations also. But initially, to connect people, to make them comfortable in Krishna consciousness, they have done all this. There is no judgmental attitude that we see in this great acharyas, or else that blocks their connect with Krishna. And most of the time when somebody says everybody is one, we immediately come to the conclusion is Mayavadi. Now Mayavadi is a term which most of us also don't know what exactly it means. And the person, he just has heard somewhere and he has made that conception, which if we tell him properly is easily removed. But we make such a hue and cry, Mayavadi, Mayavadi, Mayavadi. It is just a conception. If we tell him about the reality, it can easily go away. But the problem is, we hold to our conception and try to impose that conception. If that would have been the case, why would have Lord Chaitanya himself gone there and preached Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati plus along with that his 60,000 disciples? Did Lord Chaitanya reject them just because they were Mayavadi? No, he went in their camps and made them devotees. And how did Lord Chaitanya make? Where did Lord Chaitanya sit when he went to Prakashananda Saraswati? He sat at the place where they were, all the sannyasis washed their feet. And sitting there, he enhanced his Brahma Tejas so much that they felt that this is what we are trying to achieve in our life. We want to be one with the Brahma Jyoti. And when they thought, they felt just that their destination has been reached. And that is where Lord Chaitanya started instructing the principles of devotional service and the personal form. And he said that Brahma Jyoti is not the end, there is much more to it. And then he told the devotional service and the process and chanting of Hare Krishna. So that is why we have, preaching means what? Acharyas have taught that we have to be non-threatening to the new people who are trying to connect with Krishna. We have to give up our conception of Krishna. Because most of the people will not come here for philosophical discussion. They will come here in Krishna consciousness so that they can connect, they can have people who can understand them and not judge them. Why? Because when we make them comfortable, that becomes easy for them to connect to Krishna. And in this difficult circumstances, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur had opened 67 centers of Gaudiya Math. 64 in India, one in Rangoon, one in Hamburg, one in London. Externally seeming, he may not have been as successful as what Srila Prabhupada has done, but no. He was successful and the legacy of his success was carried by Srila Prabhupada. And that is how Prabhupada said that this is an extension of Gaudiya Math. This is nothing different from Gaudiya Math. So,
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
So the difference in preaching of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur and Prabhupada, just like if there are two people, one is dancing for 2 hours, another is dancing for 5 minutes. Now, we may think that one who dances for 2 hours is great. But when we come to understand the circumstances in which the dancing is done, then we can appreciate the other person better. The one who has danced for 5 minutes is dancing on a floor which has all broken pieces of glasses. And the other who is dancing has a good stage to dance. So who is more laudable? One who has danced for 5 minutes on the floor which has broken pieces of glass. So similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur preaching in India at the time where the entire Indian community was enamored by the Western style of living and the technological advancement, their people had stopped believing in God. At that time, he had to create a new interest in people and then start his preaching. And that is the situations in which he has preached. So he is more laudable. Prabhupada also is equally laudable, but Prabhupada had got a legacy from his Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada says in his prayers, Nachao, Nachao, Prabhu. And Krishna made him dance, but Krishna gave him a good stage to dance, because the extensive preaching can never happen till the time there is favorable desha, kala and patra. Just like if you see a person, 10 people are coming in one by one and they're trying to cut a tree, and the last person comes, he hits one blow and the entire tree falls off, and most of the people, they say, this is the one who broke the tree. No, everybody who came there, the first 9 people are also responsible of the tree falling. It is only the 10th blow that made the tree fall, because first 9 had made their blow. Similarly, Prabhupada becoming successful in the Western preaching, we have to take into consideration the strong efforts taken by His Divine Grace Bhaktivinoda Thakur and His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. Both of them gave the map of what has to be done, and then Prabhupada applied it in his own way. One devotee came to Prabhupada and said that, Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur preached only in Bengal, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur preached only in India, but you preached all over the world, so you are great. Prabhupada became so angry, you never say like this. Prabhupada said, it is the joy of the father to see his son doing more than him. It is by their mercy I could do this. It is by their groundwork that they had already done. That is why I am successful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the founder of the Krishna consciousness movement in the modern world. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur is the founder of the institution structure. And Srila Prabhupada combined this Krishna conscious philosophy and institution structure, and that is how he found ISKCON. So Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj gave me that legacy. So what Prabhupada said, I inherited the legacy from my Guru Maharaj. What kind of legacy did Prabhupada inherit? Prabhupada inherited the legacy, the desire to glorify Krishna. That was the legacy that Prabhupada inherited from Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. This strong desire to glorify Krishna whenever, however, anywhere possible, that legacy, Prabhupada said, he didn't inherit the legacy in terms of money, followers, assistance, or any letter from the institution that he belongs to our institution, please accommodate him somewhere, or give him some land, or give him some money, or no, nothing. That strong desire to glorify Krishna was the legacy that his Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, has given him. And from that strong desire to glorify Krishna, everything in ISKCON has manifested. Books are manifested, devotees have manifested, temples have manifested, farm communities have manifested, and it will keep on manifesting for the 10,000 years. So on this auspicious day, if let us all beg to Prabhupada, this Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, that please give us that strong desire to glorify Krishna, so that we can purify our hearts and also help others connect to Krishna. So this is one legacy that we also can inherit from our own grandfather, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. And also there is one word that comes in His Pranati, Apasiddhanta Dvantu Harine. He was so fierce. There was this one Charandas Babaji Maharaj who gave this mantra, Nitai Gaur Radhesham Hare Krishna Hare Ram. And he had lakhs of followers. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was so fearless. He said, this is not the mantra for this age. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Hare. This is the 16-letter mantra. He went in their camp. He directly met Charandas Babaji Maharaj and told him, where have you got this mantra from, Nitai Gaur Radhesham? Tell me. And thousands of his followers, they came across Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, and there was pushing and pulling, and even in that he was fearlessly preaching, this is the wrong mantra. Apasiddhanta Dvantvahari. That was the fierceness of his preaching. And that is where people started hatching plan to kill him. And when his followers told him that, Guru Maharaj, people are trying to kill you, he said, that means I am preaching the right thing, that is why they are trying to kill me. So let us pray to His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada that He gives us this real, genuine desire to preach in the right mood of the servant, of the servant, of the servant. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much for a kind and patient hearing. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, thank you so much for the
very nice point.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Should we end the class, Mataji? Yeah, very beautiful class.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Anybody have any questions or comments for Prabhupada? Okay. If there are no more questions or comments, then I think we can end the call. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.